You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony.
I'm Ray Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
What the fuck?
No one taught you podcast etiquette. You speak when spoken to, good sir.
But I outrank Joe.
What the fuck?
Who are these weird people talking?
And who is the weird person not talking?
Oh, man. Now you've all gone and ruined it.
Today we're going to be talking about the first serial of the 10th season of Doctor Who, The Three Doctors!
Okay. Woo!
Which consists of four episodes that air from December 30th, 1972 to January 20th, 1973!
Joe Fix!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden of mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com for getting us these episodes. Thank you, Matt.
That's Tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr.
Did he get me those episodes?
Yeah, those are the episodes I sent you.
Oh, good. Thanks, Matt.
You're super shiny. If you'd like to become a friend of Rassilon and get us episodes, you can do so at watchyourrassilon.com/support.
I am.
And there's a link to our Amazon wish list and all that jazz.
I'm the only one of your guests that am. A friend.
So let me introduce some of these fuckers that have been talking. We've got some guests for you today. Live from New York, it's Christopher, middle name Cherry.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's three, one for each doctor.
Well, one of them should have been like a half a thank you.
The Thunder from Down Under, Vincent E.L.
I'm very concerned about your kitchen. Please make sure that nothing is on. That shouldn't be.
We didn't cook today. It's fine.
Vince isn't down under. He's up over.
Yeah, he's from Sweden. I don't know what.
You don't know where
that's
Sweden
close
is.
Enough, right? Down under?
The clover from up over. That's what he is.
It's literally the opposite of down under. I mean, it's down under the North Pole.
The Thunder from down under the North Pole.
Everything is under the North Pole. Everything.
There's no reason that North has to be up. That's a social construct.
That's the most Chris Cherry thing I've ever heard.
But it's true.
It is true. It is the most Chris Cherry thing I've ever heard.
And live from California, there's gold in them there hills. It's Ray Friesen.
I'm barely in California. I've been in so many states this week.
Anyway,
how are you guys doing?
Ah, yeah. Good stuff.
I'm all right.
I'm okay.
I'm tired.
All right, cool.
Wow.
I turned 30 on Sunday.
The energy level.
You turned 30 on Sunday or you turned 30 on Sunday?
I will be turning 30 on Sunday.
Your third decade is fast approaching.
And we've been doing birthday shenanigans in advance, so I'm tired.
You will be 30 by the time this episode goes live. So happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Is anyone else 30?
Yeah, lots of people.
I mean, I'm 30. But I've been 30 for a little while.
I've got about a year and some change left before I'm 30.
Only Vince and me know what's up. You guys are too young.
Joe doesn't know how old he is.
And I'm 20-something.
I refuse to tell him.
Oh, right, because his driver's license is from the wrong state. And it's a different year in that state, as I recall.
You see, Joe's from one of those states where they only have 10 months. So there's a conversion.
Oh, metric state. Who needs February?
No one. See, it's 10 months, but there's 40 days in each month. So I don't know how that works.
That's a 400-day year.
The year should start in March anyway, because, I mean, December linguistically should be the 10th month, and October linguistically should be the 8th, and November linguistically should be the 9th month, and September should linguistically be the 7th.
It's not fucking wrong.
Oh, shit, that's blowing my mind right now.
July is Julius Caesar, because he thought he was important, and so is August Caesar.
Would you believe that our calendar is, like, mostly shaped by the egos of a bunch of long-dead Romans?
You know, there are so many facets of our lifestyle that are completely outdated and everyone knows it.
Gender!
And it's like, a weird anachronism that is still around.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna like learn a new thing.
I bet like Fahrenheit and inches and miles and television.
I don't use those things.
Lots of things just stop having meaning and just become things. That's how things happen.
Those were some guest facts.
Guest facts!
One of those guest facts was a lie. How come I don't have a Rayfax noise?
Rayfax!
Have you ever provided any kind of factual information in your life?
No, I have nothing but lies.
That's why you don't have a Rayfax noise. You can get a Ray Lies noise.
I would like a Ray Lies noise.
Ray Lies!
Yeah! Use that from now on, going forward. Forever.
It just...
It'll happen too often.
It will precede every single thing you say.
Sure. Just put that in episodes that I'm not in.
Just as propaganda?
I'll record some lies for you to stick in other episodes.
Just to inform the listener that Ray is a liar.
Or is he?
Ray owns the concept of lying.
Well, the truth usually isn't very interesting.
Alternative facts.
No, that's different. Mine is outright lies for entertainment purposes. I never said I was telling the truth.
We should talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about specifically the first serial of the 10th season, which this feels like a finale and not an opener, but that's just me. The Three Doctors!
I don't know, but the Time Monster also kind of feels like a finale.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're both
Time
like
Monster definitely feels like a finale.
I'm pretty sure this is the only Third Doctor serial I've seen. The other ones I just know about from y'all's podcast.
That's sad.
You should watch some of them, but not all of them.
Should I have watched this one?
Yes.
I mean...
It would have helped.
Preferably, yeah.
I mean, not so much because he lies, but, you know.
So let's dive right in. Let's start with episode one, which I've called The Secret of the Ooze 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, I forgot to do titles. I usually bring my own.
They weren't required.
I know, but I've made a tradition of bringing my own because they're usually better than Joe's.
I mean, that's fair.
Vince boasts.
Not this time.
This time, Joe wins by default. The best way to win.
I watched it several hours ago, and I can't remember enough of the first episode to come up with a fake title.
I can't remember anything of anything.
This is going to be a good podcast.
I remember it very vividly because I just watched it.
No, I just watched it too. I watched it several hours ago.
I usually take notes because I don't remember things, but this time I just don't remember things.
Why are we all here?
What are we doing?
Who knows?
So it starts...
So there's a bolt with a... There's a balloon on a
Thank
lake.
Thank you for trying, Chris.
Was there a balloon?
There's a balloon. There was
a balloon. Oh, well, like a weather balloon. Like a big old...
That's my episode title, The Balloon on the Lake.
Very arty.
And then there's a guy with a gun.
Over there?
Can I say, this serial starts the way a lot of, I feel like, classic Who serial starts, with, like, a rando in the woods who finds a thing. There's always, like, some kind of, like, vaguely, like... kind of villagey, kind of like...
My mom would call them a yokel.
It's always some sort of yokel who's always married.
And their wife is kind of naggy, usually.
And he's in the woods and he finds something. And something happens to him.
And there's a guy coming to pick up the balloon, which is Dr. Tyler.
Oh yeah, he
Who
exists.
Is supposed to be a character, but I keep forgetting he exists so throughout this entire
the rest of the serial.
Who's Dr. Tyler?
Yeah, I thought he like died for dramatic purposes, but then he didn't.
Nope, yeah, he doesn't do anything. He does absolutely nothing.
Him and Yoko were both there to die for dramatic purposes, but then they forgot to.
They just forgot to kill him.
I have completely forgotten about this character. Dr. Tyler?
The guy with the mustache.
He felt like, you know, when Michael Palin wears a mustache and pretends to be a normal person? That's what he felt like. Like, he's going to take that mustache off and be silly any minute now, but then he doesn't.
I think there's a point where he does math in the sand. That's like his big scene.
I vaguely remember sand math. Oh, wait, now I remember the guy. He's the guy with the mustache. Like, it's all coming back to me now.
Is that Vince's episode title? Sand math?
Sand math, man.
It's sand maths.
Yeah, it's sand maths. He's British.
Sam Matheson.
Sandrew Matheson.
So, but the gun guy, the yokel.
Call him yokel.
The yokel.
He looks like if you just smashed Simon and Garfunkel together.
The yokel gets affected away. There's like a really weird effect and he disappears. Well, this isn't that effect. It's that circular effect where it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Can you make that sound effect for me again?
There's a lot of effects in this one.
One of them's pretty effective.
The effect was pretty effective.
The effect was effective.
How did it affect you?
The effect used effect. It was very effective.
Effectively?
Sure.
All right.
So the doctor who's there is like, oh no, the yokel's disappeared. Better call Unit. So he calls Unit, and then it cuts immediately to him drinking some tea with Unit.
How many people know about Unit?
I do love it when the military invites you round for tea.
They're leaving the doctor to, like, do his research, and the brig's just, like, everybody else leaves, and the brig's standing there, and he's like, I can take it from here, I'm good. And the brig's like, okay, it's just, this is a top secret facility, so whatever, make yourself at home, I guess, and then, like, storms out.
It's their top secret, like, village, and it has a big sign out front that says, Unit!
Exactly. But no, but everyone seems to know about it. Like, the guy was like, oh, this dude disappeared, better call Unit, because they're who you call. Like, they are Ghostbusters. By the way, it didn't seem like that much of a mystery. Like, he was like, there was a guy there, and then I went down the hill, and he seemed to be gone. I guess he disappeared. Better call, like, the science Mythbusters or something.
I mean, I think Mythbusters are the science Mythbusters.
That's fair.
But I see your point.
It was just kind of this thing of like, oh, a guy I thought I saw isn't there anymore. Better open an X-File.
Well, maybe the police are just so useless in this area that it's like, oh, fuck it. Just circumvent them. Go straight to Unit. They'll deal with it.
Have you seen Unit, though?
Well, Unit has guns. The police don't have any guns.
They'll fire bullets at it for 5 whole episodes, and then the doctor will be like, have you tried talking to them? And then it'll be fine.
So, but he brings in the balloon, which is, it was a cosmic ray research balloon.
And it's got like a box attached to it.
Oh, and at this point, he's comparing it. He says they're not as good as NASA, but they try their best. And he calls it Houston.
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 I knew that Cherry was going to have something to say about that.
You know what the weird thing is that in New York, there's a street called Houston Street, but they don't call it Houston Street. They call it Houston, and that's way worse.
That's awful. That we have the same thing.
We have a Lafayette.
Isn't that like Soho is south of Houston?
It might be. I'm not 100% sure.
Should it be Soho?
I live here, but I don't know how it works.
I feel the same way about Los Angeles.
And everybody lives Sonopo, right?
What?
South of the North Pole.
I get it.
He knew. He knew.
Finch knew when the time was right. We have fun.
We have fun here.
So Dr. Tyler has some cosmic x-rays or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know why they're x-rays, but they are.
It leads to a really cool shot where the doctor's looking through one of them. And like he's framed up inside the like narrow strip in the x-ray.
Yeah.
I really like that shot.
How much does the doctor go, wow, this technology is primitive? Because like I'm looking at it at all this 1970s stuff and going, oh man, that looks made out of plywood. Like, how does he feel like all the time?
To be fair, on camera, he says it a lot.
I think the thing is with the doctor is that like everything is primitive, therefore nothing is, like it's all relative. Like he's always working with something that's more less cool than the shit that he had growing up. And like he's a time traveler, so like there's no current technology for the doctor anymore. So everything's graded on a curve, everything's graded on a scale. So it's just like, oh yeah, this is what I got. The doctor is kind of camping all the time.
He is pretty campy.
And yet he has big, giant, heavy TVs in the TARDIS with giant knobs.
If any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, is any insufficiently advanced technology indistinguishable from just stuff?
Yeah. Indistinguishable from camping.
The doctor's always camping. He's literally always roughing it.
The TARDIS is his RV.
And he's like the guy you take camping, where he's like, oh, I didn't have this, so I just built it out of some sticks and, like, a knife I had. And you're like, oh, man, you're super prepared. That's the doctor.
The Time Lord is always prepared.
The MacGyver?
He's a Boy Scout.
So basically, though, they talk a bit, and then they're like, all right, stranger who just came in, feel free to use our lab. Bye. I mean, the brig's annoyed, but, like, they leave him alone in the lab with all of this shit. And he, like, takes a look at one of the x-rays and he's like, well, that's weird. That wasn't on there before.
Someone drew a face on it with Sharpie. Huh.
That's a very quick face job.
You really want to take your time with your face jobs.
And he's looking at it and like, oh, that's weird. And then immediately gets affected away as well. And then he's got the box, like this box that was attached to the balloon. And it starts oozing this multicolored effect that I don't entirely know what they're doing.
Oh, I hated it. It makes me so uncomfortable.
It looks really cool.
Was it the one that was red and blue and black and very animated?
And wiggly.
Do we have any idea how they created that effect? Because, I mean, It's like they had like a cloth puppet that they did some color squiggles on, which is why it's moving around so much instead of like flat.
I think someone said it was Jell-O.
I think it's some sort of color separation overlay trick where they separated it from the background, and then the stuff that was left, they just did a bunch of stuff to make the colors all squiggly.
Because the way that it moves, sometimes it looks like really heavily treated images of like a person, kind of. I feel like it almost be like a person under a blanket that they've like really treated, and like, it's, I don't know exactly. It's a lot of stuff. I'd be curious to know.
At one point, it looked like an animal being born.
And that point was at every point.
It doesn't work in the sense that at no point do you think it is ever occupying the same space as anyone on the screen. On the other hand, it works very well in that it is very off-putting and very frightening, and it looks alien and wrong.
Yes, you just look at it and there's just this sense of wrongness where you're like, this shouldn't exist. I don't know what's here. It's bad. It's making me feel bad in ways I don't understand.
And given what it's supposed to be, that's actually kind of accurate. Like, Joe and Tony and I were all watching this last season of Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks oftentimes uses these very kind of harsh-looking video effects in a way that's purposefully very jarring. This feels like the same sort of thing, where the lo-fi quality of it makes it more uncomfortable and more effective.
Yeah, because you're totally aware that it's a special effect happening. You're not thinking like, oh, they filmed some weird shit. They're not even trying not to make it look like it's not a special effect.
Yeah, but it's also very unnerving.
It had a weird noise, right? But I mean, everything on Doctor Who is a weird noise. And you go, oh shit, that's music. Well, okay, the music for this episode was very weird noise. Has it generally been like that, or was that a...
Delightful. It's been happening more recently.
It happens off and on.
There's this very jaunty synth tune that plays at one point that I was very into.
Yeah, I want the soundtrack for this episode to look at, but not listen to.
He wants to see the waveform.
It's how I roll.
So the Doctor and Joe go to examine the balloon. That's where they left to go to. Which I think he examines it with his sonic screwdriver, right?
Is that on the Doctor's business cards? It just says balloon examiner.
His business card is very big.
I want him to do a thing where he has a business card for every occasion when he shows up somewhere.
Well, isn't that what the psychic paper is for?
Ideally, he would have one printed out in a very large binder in his jacket.
But I feel like he's using the sonic screwdriver to examine the balloon, which is like...
It's like a Geiger counter.
Yeah. Like, and they just keep increasing the things that the sonic screwdriver can do, when originally it just unscrewed screws.
Later on, when he's trying to do something, and Joe says, why don't you use a sonic screwdriver? And he goes, oh, it wouldn't work for this. And I went, what?
I don't even give you, like, it doesn't do wood kind of reason. He's just like, doesn't work.
Well, no, I think they do give a reason, because I think at that point, they're in an antimatter universe.
The screwdriver doesn't work because we're in the wrong universe.
So, but they finish examining the balloon, and then they drive back to UNIT, complete with a giant umbrella because there's no roof on Bessie.
Yeah, a convertible is a bad choice for England.
But it looks cool. The Doctor's more about aesthetics than functionality. I mean, look at the TARDIS. They pull into UNIT, and then that antimatter starts oozing out of the ground.
Out of a drain, I think.
Yeah, out of a drain, yeah. The Doctor says the thing. He says the thing that Two most famously said, which is, when I say run, run. And then they run. And then the antimatter eats Bessie. Bessie gets eaten. I know eventually he gets a different car. I assumed this is where that happened, but it's not.
Nope.
Because Bessie comes back. So then they go back in. They can't find Tyler, but then they see that his face is in the thing. Or is that the first guy?
The first guy, the yokel.
The yokel's in the thing. The Doctor just assumes that the antimatter is honed in on the Doctor for no... I mean, there's some reasoning behind it.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it must be after me, because it hasn't tried to get me. It's just gotten things nearby me, so it must be after me.
Well, it must be after me, because I'm awesome. I think that's the thinking.
Yeah, I'm the most interesting thing here. I'd be after me.
Kill me.
He's so deadpan this whole time. It feels like a Adam West Batman episode where lots of ridiculous things are happening, and characters just are like, oh, yes. Well.
Three is a lot like Adam West's Batman, actually.
I think that was intentional.
He name drops Batman in an episode.
Are they friends?
No. He just says, what were you expecting? The Batmobile? Or something like that. I don't remember. So they're like, what do we do? What do we do about this ooze? And the Doctor's like, nothing. Let's just wait for it to come to me because it wants me so bad. Then outside of UNIT, these creatures start appearing, which I don't think they have a name.
They look like bedazzled scrotums.
I thought for a second that they were Zygons, and just the Zygons turn up in all of the multi-doctor stories because I've been watching them in the wrong order. And then I went, oh no, they're just weird red bubble wrap.
I was going to say, I think they look like Yetis. If, like, a Yeti got terribly, terribly sick.
It's Yeti and, like, covered in boils.
It came down with the plague, yeah.
A Yeti with, like, the worst gonorrhea.
Aren't Yetis robots?
Robot gonorrhea.
Roboria. Roboria?
Everything alien in this serial has been disgusting.
Once we get to, like, the alternate universe and Omega and all that stuff, the aesthetic of, like, the monsters and the world is just awful.
It really is. So it's gross.
Even for something low budget, there's some stuff they could have done better.
Well, I don't think it was bad. I mean, I think it was intentionally off-putting.
Because, I don't know, though, because, like, later, when they walk around in, like, the kind of palace or whatever, everyone's kind of like, well, check this out.
Yeah, that is true. And I'm like, what, the gooey, gross, bubbly walls?
Because I think they're supposed to be, like, jewels.
Really? They look like sores. Like, the whole thing looks like an open wound. Like, the whole palace.
Festering open wound.
Yeah. It's not good.
I thought they were some sort of crystalline formations.
Like crystals that have been rotting. Rotten crystals. Which, I mean, that's Omega in a nutshell. He's a rotten crystal.
It just looks like really sunburned skin.
Ugh.
Ugh. I think it's like if you turned a Yeti inside out.
With the thing from Galaxy Quest?
It turned inside out. Then it exploded. So these bubble blanket people appear.
Do they have a name?
No, I don't think they do. They're just like antimatter creatures or some shit. They have claw guns, though. That's pretty cool. Like, they have like claw hands and pee-pee.
Why do they have crab claws?
Why not?
If he made them from his will.
They had some left over from the mutant serial.
Any production designer worth their salt has a few crab claws laying around.
Leftover.
So there's a shootout that happens because that's what Unit knows to do is shoot things. Then it starts oozing into the lab, the antimatter stuff. And the Doctor and Joe are like, let's get into the TARDIS. And Benton comes with them. And this is the first time Benton has been in
the TARDIS.
I also think it's the first time, like, the Doctor's like, you're gonna say it's bigger on the...
You're gonna say the thing? Yeah. Everyone always says the thing, and you haven't said the thing yet. And Benton says, this seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? Why would I say the obvious thing?
Is this the first time we've seen the interior of three TARDIS?
No.
It's the first time we've seen it looking like this, though.
Because, like, he pulled his console out of it. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, he's had it back for a while, but last serial, which was the Time Monster, there was a redesign. That was the finale. And then in between then and this premiere, it got, like, messed up, and also the director hated it, so they redesigned it again. This is, like, the third or fourth TARDIS design for three.
So someone who used their TARDIS the least had the most designs.
Yeah, because the first time they used it, I don't think they finished building the sets yet, yeah. So it was, like, really cramped.
The first time, it's, like, very clearly, like, shoved in, like, a broom closet that they had, like, painted the roundels on, like, sort of thing. It's very sort of makeshift.
And then it's bigger and nicer, and then it changes for that one last serial, and then it changes again for this serial. So, I don't think they're terribly different. The last serial's one, the roundels looked really weird. They look like bowls.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
Tony liked it.
But I'm alone.
I thought that it was an interesting choice.
Time bowls.
Speaking of time bowls, we cut to Time Lords!
These Time Lords are having the calmest panic attack that I've ever seen. They're on the bridge of the Time Lord Starship Enterprise.
They're inside of a Taco Bell in the 90s.
Yeah, but like the guy says, sir, according to this, everything's about to be ruined. And the guy goes, what do we do?
Damn.
They could have had lights flickering and people running around and like they could have sold the tension other than people just saying, oh, by the way, it's really tense right now.
Time Lords are way too stuffy and dignified for that.
We have to do something. I know. Let's get the Doctor to collaborate. With us? No, with the Doctor.
We have to break all the rules of time. Okay.
Which doesn't make any sense. Why, though?
They didn't seem to explore any alternatives.
He's smarter than anybody.
I think one of the Time Lord guys engineered this problem because he just really wanted to see what would happen if this rule of time got broken. Like, that was his agenda.
The idea, apparently, was that everyone else was busy. That's, like, what they say. It's just like, okay, like, we need to do something. It's like, everyone else is busy. Like, they're all trying to keep the energy up or whatever. So, like, we have to break the law of time and make the Doctor hang out with himself because, like, they can't spare Jerry for 2 minutes.
And Jerry's in Jerry daycare.
You say there's no tension, but there is a subtle, as the serial progresses, it gets darker and darker.
In that Taco Bell.
Yeah, in that Taco Bell. Because they're turning off more and more lights. Like, oh, we don't need this light. This isn't helping.
I do like their robes, though.
Their robes are pretty cool.
They're purple and shiny.
Purple?
They look black on mine.
Like dark blue.
The capes are blue and the shoulder thingies are black and white. Or black and gray.
They look very Time Lordy.
But basically, there's a black hole, and it's going to, like, eat up everything, and it's going to cause danger to the fabric of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they decide, let's send two back.
Let's send two forward.
Yes, let's send two forward, yeah. Well, depends on where he's at currently. Which, he doesn't come with any companions, and I find that sad.
Wasn't he gonna go with Jamie, but then they couldn't do that for some reason? Jamie wasn't available?
Yeah. And then I think they were going to bring somebody else, and then I think three was like, no, that will spread the attention too much, and we need to keep it tighter.
We need more of it on me.
Yeah.
He should have taken his shirt off while he wrestled a monster.
I mean, he did wrestle a monster.
He did. He will.
Two appears in the TARDIS, just fades up. Do they find the recorder first, or does he show up with the recorder? I don't remember.
They find the recorder on the console.
And they're like, what's this? And then he appears and pulls it out of their hand and is like, it's mine. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, his hand appears first.
Which, obviously, the Time Lords had to, like, grab two and explain what's going on to him and then send him here. Because he was pretty up to speed on what his future self was doing.
And he says the thing, you've redecorated.
I don't like it.
Which is the first time he says it, but he says it...
So many more times.
A bunch more, right?
He says it in the Five Doctors.
And 11 says it.
And the Seven Doctors.
The Seven Doctors.
The Nine Doctors. You just add two each time. The 27 Doctors. That one was great.
But Ben's happy because he's met this doctor before.
Yeah, he misses this one. He knows him.
He's like, this new one's kind of a dick. I like you. So, two and three, have to catch Joe up on what's going on, which he does by saying, I am he and he is me.
We are all together.
Beatles reference.
There's a bunch of Beatles jokes going on, and two kind of looks like a Beatle with his haircut.
He has a mop top Liverpudlian.
It all ties together. Speaking of, really quickly, with that Beatles joke, like, I love Joe in this one.
You do too?
Yes.
She's been good for, like, the past few serials.
But what's sort of interesting about this serial is that, like, Joe is always generally very kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, very kind of enthusiastic and excited and a little bit naive or whatever, that kind of thing that they do. But, like, she's very kind of sarcastic in this one. She's really quick on the uptick. At this point, like, she's, like, answering a lot of science questions, and the I Am the Walrus joke is very kind of sarcastic. Like, there's a bit later when they eventually find Bessie, they're like, where are we going to go? And she's like, I don't know, once around the block. And it's just this really kind of, Katie Manning just kind of throws it away in a way that's really funny. She gets more range in this one than she normally gets to have.
I think this one and the Time Monster were both really, really good.
You know, I also think that, like, their dynamic is better for it. There are more scenes where I'm like, oh man, they're so cute together. And it's because she has more to do.
And two kind of just knows who Joe is. There's not really much explanation about that. He's like, hello, Joe.
I think he's been briefed.
He's been briefed, yeah.
But to catch three up, they both close their eyes and concentrate really, really hard. Contact. And they go,
they use this effect several times where it's flashing between the two faces, and they get better at it. Because the first one, their heads are wildly, like, mismatched. And then they realize, oh, if we have, like, their nose and their eyes lined up, this effect will be cool. Instead of jarring.
Maybe it's like an arc. Maybe at first, the first time they do it, they're not used to it.
This is the production designer's character development.
No, it's supposed to represent them getting better at doing the contact. At first, they're bickering. At the end, they're totally in sync.
they start the band in sync. That's where this originated.
And then they go bye-bye-bye. And then they separate.
Yeah, I know. I Am the Walrus, Cuckoo-Cuckoo, in sync.
They bicker beautifully, by the way. I enjoyed it every time it happened. And they're bickering so much that they're like...
The Time Lords had to call Dad.
They're like, oh, let's send the First Doctor and stop him arguing. He is stuck in a Time Eddie? Is that what the excuse was?
With cue cards.
Time Edward.
He shows up and says something about crossing a bridge. They're like, we don't know what to do. And he's like, there's a bridge that needs to be crossed. Cross that bridge. That's what he says. He says something very mildly plot pushing forward and then disappears.
He's like, hey, I don't know. Maybe you could, you know, move forward with the plot and quit doing things.
This happens several times in this episode where there's a dangerous thing that they don't understand, but they're bored of just waiting for it, so they're going to go for it. Because, like, waiting for it to leave would be too boring. Let's just try jumping in this very dangerous thing.
Let's antagonize it, because I don't have anything else to do.
Did they record Hartnell's bits before writing this serial?
Before writing it?
Because it seems like it, because it's like, the stuff he says is fairly generic. And, I mean, he's not in the scene with the other actors. It's as if they had it before they wrote it.
I don't think so, because I think that the idea was that he was going to be in it because he wanted to be in it, and his wife had to be like,
don't.
Yeah, I know he said that he could do this, but he can't, and don't tell him I told you this, because he'll be mad. Like, his wife had to be like, he's not well enough to actually do this. And then they decided to... I mean, I don't know when in the planning of, you know.
Well, they definitely took publicity photos all together, all three of them, in his garden. Actually, that bit where the Time Lords are like, we need to call him, and it shows him, like, the First Doctor in a garden, that's actually in William Hartnell's garden. They filmed that there.
Aww.
The rest of it was filmed in a studio, and him up in that thing.
I do think it's funny that they all sort of treat him like he's the oldest and the wisest. Like, in large part, because it's, like, the actor's thing of, like, yeah, he's the First Doctor. He's, you know, he's the one who, like, established this thing and will listen to him.
But character-wise, he's younger and knows far less than them.
They should be like, whatever. It'd be like me taking advice from 16-year-old me. Like, shut up.
Which also, can we talk about how odd it is to see two in color? It feels less like I'm seeing two and more like I'm seeing Patrick Troughton cosplaying as two.
He's got those, like, suspenders with, like, the colorful, like, little flowers on it. I thought that was neat.
I loved his suspenders.
Especially because, like, in general, with, like, multi-doctor stories, the doctors that aren't the current doctor play up their eccentricities more. So, like, two is a lot broader in this than he normally is.
Apparently, he improvised a lot, too, much to the annoyance of Jon Pertwee. I think there was a little bit of animosity between the two of them for a while, and then they made up. And then Jon Pertwee dragged Patrick Troughton to the conventions, in which they would shoot at each other with water guns. I love them.
Friends!
Anyway, they decide that they're going to go out and check out this ooze. They don't know which one is going to do it. And so, two does it. He's going to, I'll flip a coin. He flips it, lands at it, looks at it really quickly, takes it away, and goes, well, you lost. Tough luck. Doesn't even give him a chance to look.
Which they don't have any sort of explanation of, like, why three doesn't know what two has already done. Like, they didn't think anyone in the audience would ask that question.
I feel like they later cover it somehow, right?
Not in this serial.
Yeah, not in this serial.
But yeah, there is some explanation down the line of, like, you forget or something. I don't remember what it is, but it...
Your memory gets all foggy.
You're breaking the laws of time. Very casually.
Yeah, there's very little of, like, three or two going, oh shit, we shouldn't be doing this. They just do it.
I think three does a little bit, and two's like, shut up, I'm here.
There's a lot of drama that could have been in this that they chose to avoid by just having everyone be very calm and measured and Adam Westy.
So then three goes out with Joe, and they both get eaten by the ooze. And that is the end of episode one.
Do they get eaten by the ooze? There's a weird sort of explodey effect.
Tomato... eating tomato.
The ooze takes them.
Tomato, potato.
That explodey effect, by the way, it looks kind of like... Well, they've done color separation overlay, of course, but I think it's through water, and I think they've, like, dumped, like, either, like, milk or flour or something in the water to cause that effect.
To me, it looks like an explosion in a cartoon.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it looks like Adam what? It looks like 1960s Batman, bam, biff, bam, pow. That's what it looks like to me.
It looks to me like smoke in water.
Burr, 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 burr.
Not smoke on the water.
Words are the same.
Words have absolutely no meaning. Everything we've been saying for the past 50 minutes has just been incomprehensible gibberish.
That's probably true.
Because at one point, October was 8.
And to this point, I don't know if that's actually in anything we've said for the podcast or not.
That was pre-show warm-up nonsense.
So now we're into episode two, which I've called The Three Me's, or The Caves of Antimatter.
I like The Caves of Antimatter, because it sounds like a classic serial.
I want to watch a new episode called The Caves of Antimatter.
The Ants of Cavey Matter.
I wouldn't watch that.
Ben's worried about three, but Sue's like, no worries, they were just transported.
They weren't eaten.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And Ben's like, well, then let's blow it up, which is a dumb reaction.
He's unit. He knows no other way.
Basically, they go out to examine the thing, and Briggs shows up, surprised to see Two, and Two's like, don't worry about it, I'm just a temporal anomaly.
Briggs thinks he's changed back.
And he's very annoyed about it. He's like, I don't have to tolerate this foolishness.
The Brigadier is insufferably thick-headed in this whole serial, where it's like people are saying very simple things to him and he's just refusing to understand them.
Everyone's personality is turned up to 11 in this one.
Matt Smith?
Or turned up to 3.
Everyone is kind of being the biggest, loudest, and sometimes worst version of themselves in this serial.
That's how I live every day.
And so the Brig is being the most kind of obstinate military. When they, like, later, the Brig is just, like, talking about military strategy and things. He's being the most kind of obstinate military version of himself in this serial.
The Brig sounds like someone who doesn't like Doctor Who talking about Doctor Who, like, in real life. Have you ever talked to someone who's familiar with the show but is like, it's all ridiculous and stupid. Why would it be that way? That's what he is.
There's a bit where, like, he's just decided that the Doctor's turned back into Two, and he's like, that's the only reasonable explanation. And everyone's like, no, there's two of them here. We've got Two and Three. And he's like, no, that's dumb. To the point where he finally sees them both in the same place, and he's like, what? And it's like, you've been told this. You know.
And
he's just shocked and confused.
He's really annoyed because they, like, the show is fucked with his headcanon.
Here's the thing. It allows for this bit of comedy, but I was a little annoyed that we're like, Two and Three together, woo! And then immediately separate them. That's boring.
I felt that a little bit too, where it's like, hey, don't do that.
I feel like the fact that there were multi-doctors was only a small part of the plot, and this would have worked just as well as a solo doctor story. In other multi-doctor adventures, they make a much better go of, we have these actors together, let's play with it.
I feel like that's not true.
I mean, yeah, here's the thing. We just recently watched The Five Doctors.
They're separated for most of the serial.
Like Obi-Wan and Anakin. It's the Attack of the Clones thing.
Nothing in The Five Doctors has to happen at all.
Like, the fact that there's there's more than one doctor in the story doesn't really affect the story much. But also, there's not much of a story to this. All of it is an excuse to get two doctors on the screen anyway.
It's like, we're going to have them here. Just have them do something.
And then when they do, they're not there.
I mean, they do eventually. I think, like, a lot of times when the Doctor is on screen, he's a character that instantly takes charge of scenes. So when you have two of them, it's kind of harder to write.
They do sort of go into their own bubble a lot. Like, just exclude everybody, which is fine. I enjoy it. And everybody else is like, hey, we're here too, assholes. But the Time Lords chime in and are like, Three and Joe went into a black hole. And then they start to wake up, and I went, or a quarry. And I was right. We pull out, and they're in a quarry.
You know how that joke goes, right? With Three and Joe go into a black hole. The bartender says,
Vince, do you know how that joke goes?
I don't have an actual punchline. I'm just saying that sounded like the beginning of a joke, and I was hoping somebody would yes and it before.
I want to see a quarry with a bartender.
Quarry? I barely knew her. I don't know.
Quarry means four. This is October.
So, but yeah, they're in a quarry, which...
That's September, though, right?
Yeah. So...
They're in a quarry. They're not dead.
Well, Joe thinks they're dead, and the Doctor's like, nah, this doesn't look like much of an afterlife.
I bet if you die in Doctor Who, you go to a quarry. I bet that's for real.
And the Master's there.
I hear if you die in Doctor Who, you die in real life.
Back at the Ooze, Two's like, this Ooze is really smart. We gotta confuse it with something that confuses people. So let's...
Have you got a TV?
Yeah, let's play it some TV.
That'll make it dumb.
Commentary.
There's a scene later with the Ooze where they've got the confusing thing set up that it feels like there's multiple Monty Python references in it. Like, because at one point Benton calls it like an evil blancmange that's like crowing. And then, like, also, just the idea that you have to fight it with confusing just seems very confuse-a-cat. Like, there's a whole section of that episode that just feels like a Monty Python sketch to me.
And the one guy with the mustache was basically Michael Palin.
And the brig is, of course...
Oh, Graham Chapman.
Looks like the brig is wearing the same outfit that Graham Chapman wore.
Well, it's probably, you know, just they went to the BBC suit pile and said, here's some military stuff.
Exactly, yeah. It's a standard issue, yeah.
So then my favorite joke happens. So Joe and the Doctor are walking around in this quarry.
Wait, Joe, do you take notes the whole time you're watching these episodes?
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
Don't you?
No.
I'm looking at a picture of Graham Chapman as a general, and I'm pretty sure it is the same costume.
Make a gif of it.
Make a gif of that image you found.
Also, like, how hard is it for you to write notes? I have notes. It wasn't hard. At one point, I was watching the episode, writing notes, and eating dinner.
I was watching the episode and drawing cats committing crimes.
That's fair. I was not doing that.
I'm trying to be productive with my time. I should be drawing cats committing crimes right now, but I'm not.
I was watching it on a tablet on a train for some of it. And sometimes I was in bed trying to fall asleep. So I was not really in a position to take notes.
I took notes. And this is in my notes. Joe and the Doctor are walking around in the quarry.
Nice.
And, thank you. And there's all the stuff that's been eaten so far, basically. There is the wall. There is a wall, which we forgot to say disappeared at one point. There's a wall with the doors in it.
We have the antimatter eats it.
Joe is on one side, the Doctor's on the other. And it's just the wall. There's no, like, room around it. It's just the wall.
Yeah, it looks like it's been torn out.
There's just a chunk of wall with a door in it.
Yeah, no admittance, it says on a sign. I have the video open because I don't have any notes.
So Joe's on the other side and she's like trying to open the door and she's like, it's locked. And he's like, well, yeah, it says no admittance. And I was like, that is the dumbest joke and I love it so much. So that was my favorite joke. And then they find Bessie and then they're like drive around. They drive away in Bessie and they're being followed by one of the boiling Teletubbies.
That's a boiling Teletubby?
Yeah, it's a Teletubby that's covered in boils.
That's in the process of being boiled.
Alive.
With claws.
They're like David Cronenberg's Yo Gabba Gabba.
Joe, how did you feel about the Dutch angle when they got out of Bessie?
Oh my God, it was...
He was so excited.
It was actually a little disorienting. Because it looked like they were about to fall out of Bessie. It's like super Dutch angled.
Yeah, it looked like Bessie was about to fall off the cliff or something.
Yeah, like Joe was like standing up in the in Bessie. And I was like, sit down. You're going to fall.
And Joe was like standing up, watching it, going, look at that Dutch angle.
Exactly.
And Tony was like, Joe, sit down.
We're watching a TV show.
All they did was tilt the camera. Calm down.
I don't remember stuff like that. But then again, I wasn't taking notes.
So meanwhile, Two has to go explain everything to this council for the brig because the brig's dumb as dirt. And he doesn't want to, but the Two's like, why have I got to do it? And he's like, because he calls him Three's assistant.
Yeah.
Because well, they're like, how do I explain it? I'm not the doctor. He's like, well, you're his assistant.
He's like, yeah.
And Two's like, fuck that. I am not his assistant. Bullshit.
I am not my own assistant. I can't handle myself, T. And little tea stirrers.
And so he goes and they leave Benton in charge of the ooze.
It seems like a really good idea.
Doesn't he start like zapping it with some telescope?
I think he throws some trash in it.
He's like afraid of it because first of all, he's like, we're going to leave. And he's like, you're going to leave me with a thing? And they're like, yeah, we trust you. And he's like, no.
Benton is behaving with this ooze the way I behave with a room full of dogs. Just like, yeah, you better pay attention.
For those who don't know, Chris works with dogs.
I do not work with dogs. I don't know how to deal with them.
You guys are my dogs.
What?
Okay.
Oh, man. And so, yeah, he throws some trash in it.
It's like, you're not going to give me any trouble.
Is that how you deal with dogs, Chris? You throw trash at them, and then you shoot them with electricity.
Exactly. I confuse them with my confusing ray.
That only works on cats, and it's limited.
And when I say that, I mean you. You're my confusing ray.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I thought he was a lying ray.
That's what makes him so confusing.
I mean, I deal with dogs by shooting electricity out of a telescope at them, but I don't work with them professionally. I just don't like them.
So he shocks it. It's getting worse. Two comes back and I was like, what the hell did you do? And they all run into the TARDIS. And this is the first time the brig has been inside the TARDIS.
Does he say it's bigger on the inside?
I think he refuses to believe that.
Yeah, he just can't stand it. He's like, no.
He complains that this is what you've been using the funding for?
An optical illusion, yeah. He gets mad about, like, it's like, oh, you've been wasting all our money doing this?
Buying very large, very clunky televisions. installing them on the wall.
Then Mr. Unmemorable comes back in the quarry.
Oh, yeah, he's here.
This is when he does sand math, and he's like, E equals MC squared. I went faster than the speed of light. Okay. Which goes against what the master said in the last serial, which is that E equals MC cubed.
Well, that was in a particular context.
Not only in special advanced mathematics.
But wasn't that like outside of time or in between time?
Time lords do have extra dimensions.
Between now and now, that's where it's cubed.
Tom Tit, transference of matter through interstitial time.
Hey.
I still remember it.
Yeah, there's an interactive, I guess, science museum for kids in Stockholm called Tom Tits.
I'm not laughing at what Vin said. I'm laughing at Joe's reaction to what Vin said.
I believe it is named after a
Doctor Who episode
character in some magazine that doesn't exist anymore.
Aku Anka?
Well, it's a bird too, right?
Well, that's probably where the character was named after. If it wasn't taken straight out of Doctor Who, I don't know.
So there's a museum? Is that what you said? In a character?
Well, the museum is named after the character that's no longer relevant because it was from a magazine that probably doesn't exist anymore. But the museum is still around. And it's like an interactive science museum for kids.
Okay, so there's a museum and a character. So there's a pair of Tom Tits.
Well, the character is no longer there. It's just the name of the museum now.
It's like they named a museum after Popeye, but then everyone forgot about Popeye. And this is just like, this is the Popeye Museum. It's like, what do they have? What do they have there? It's like, oh, just science. It's just the Popeye Museum.
We're over-explaining this. I just wanted to make a pair of Tom Tits joke.
No one cared. No one cared at all.
I believe the character was specifically for teaching kids about science. I think that was the point of the character. So it's more like if they had a spinach museum that was called Popeye's Spinach Museum and everybody forgot about Popeye.
What if they had a chicken restaurant? What if they had a restaurant that sold chicken?
Like Bojangles?
Yeah, like Bojangles. Exactly like Bojangles.
I feel like the theme of this episode of the podcast is names like losing their meaning and just becoming names.
So where were we? So the Joe and Dr. bump into Sand Math guy.
Sand Math. That's just his name.
And the doctor says that they are an anomaly inside of an impossibility.
Wrapped in an enigma.
He sure does say that.
Sand Math wants more explanations for that. And the doctor is like, no.
He couldn't explain it. Not even if he wanted to.
You'll just get my metaphors. Metaphors are better than explanations.
And then Joe's like, but who took us? And then we cut to the semi-reveal of our bad guy, who's just a bad guy. He's an evil guy. That's all we know. He's very dramatic.
That's all we know right now.
He's got an epic Halloween mask.
Yeah, I want to talk about that mask when the time is appropriate, because it's off the hook.
It's pretty neat.
I don't know when they say his name, but it's Omega. Is that just the British pronunciation of Omega?
Well, I can tell you about it, because it's actually Valley Girl speak. It's Omega. Well, technically it's Greek, and neither of the pronunciations are accurate.
So, but like, I think Two called it when he made the happy Daleks, the good Daleks.
Oh, yeah. What do you call
him? He called it Omega.
I guess it's just British.
The stresses are not as dramatic as they could be. We just like things that are mega in the United States. So, of course, we go, oh, mega!
So then we got a brief little interlude where Two's messing with the ooze, possibly makes it worse, and he's like, I need a recorder.
There's this moment in, like, this thing. He realizes that, like, he got it wrong because of antimatter.
Yeah, he's like, I was trying to calm it down, but it's antimatter, so I've actually been riling it up this whole time.
No, what he says, I've stimulated it. And he says it exactly that sexually.
This is when everybody goes inside the cave, too. It's right after this.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they're like, look how beautiful this is. And I'm like,
their metaphor for the cave is it's like Aladdin's cave. Like, that comes up several times, like, it's Aladdin's cave, and there'll be a genie, and we'll get wishes. Like, they say that several times.
Isn't the whole thing about Aladdin's cave that there's a whole bunch of fucking treasure in there?
I think the boils are supposed to be jewels.
This looks like if Freddy Krueger had a cave. That's what it looks like. It does not look like Aladdin's cave. It looks like some murder den.
What band is Freddy Krueger in?
He was the singer for Van Halen after Hagar. It goes David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar, Freddy Krueger.
And then Scary Terry.
Yeah, Scary Terry.
Van Halen's third singer is the only Van Halen concert I've been to, and I can't remember his name. I feel like my dad would be so mad at me.
It's Freddy Krueger. I said that earlier.
He just said.
But then he starts killing people, and it's like, this isn't the encore we wanted.
Well, it's the encore of your dreams.
God damn it.
I don't know if other people know who Van Halen is, because my dad likes him so much, and no one else in the universe seems to care. So I'm always just like, when other people mention it, I'm like, oh, you've heard of them too. Not just me every day of my childhood.
Well, has anyone not heard of Van Halen?
I guess. I mean, I just don't know if they're as popular as, like, Aerosmith or one of those other 80s bands that had guitars.
Van Halen didn't make music in the late 90s. Aerosmith made the theme to Armageddon, and so, like...
They've got a little more longevity.
Exactly. But, like, yeah, I think people know who Van Halen is in as much as they know any, like, hard rock bands from the 80s.
I personally just have a weird context with them because my dad loves them so much.
I will say in the 90s, I saw David Lee Roth on some late night show doing a country version of Jump, and it was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
Ever?
Might as well jump. Might as well jump. I don't know. It was very weird and like low key, and I hated it.
I've seen him hit himself in the face with a microphone and have to leave for part of the concert.
Amazing. So the Briggs trying to communicate with people with his little thingy, and it's not working. Two takes the device from Brig and proceeds to just mess it up. Two's really annoyed because that three has left and gone on an adventure and he's stuck. And he's like, I want to be doing an adventure.
Wait, did you talk about him fixing the thing? I thought it was a cute scene.
Where the Brig's like, my thing doesn't work. And Two's like, let me see it. And then proceeds to break it more.
He does drop all the batteries out of it.
He fixes it and then looks very, very smug when it works. That's...
Oh, right. He's like, it's not work. He fixes it and he's like, here you go. And it still doesn't work. And then he like bashes it against the console.
Yeah.
And then it starts working.
It is very cute.
So meanwhile, in the Cave of Wonders.
The Cave of Boils.
Boiled Wonder.
This is the only other scene with Tyler I remember, which is he's like, I'm going to run. I'm gonna bolt for it. And the doctor's like, no, I want to be taken to the guy and see what's going on. So let's not do that. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess so. And then runs.
And then, like, is immediately taken, like, caught and taken back within, like, a series of, like, minutes.
I don't even think he's caught. He just runs back to where they were.
He's, like, fine, but then doesn't do anything for the rest of the serial. So that was a part for him to die and show that the situation's dramatic.
No. He runs away. He kind of gets caught. They bring him back. And then he literally says, that was a bit of a waste of time, wasn't it? He's literally just like, man, we just did some padding there, didn't we?
Looks at the camera and is like, fuck you.
Man. We had to do this in 4 episodes instead of 2. It should have been 3 episodes for 3 doctors. They could have each been in one of them.
They each get their own episode.
And they never interact.
Or they could have just had them in the same place. Instead of Attack of the Clonesing them and sending fucking Anakin off to hang out with Padme for the whole fucking thing.
I mean, they spend the second half of the serial together, basically.
They're together more than they're not. And the first doctor is there.
Sort of.
The first doctor comes back and says, turn off your force field, because there's a force field around the TARDIS, mm-hmm. and that'll fix something. And the Briggs like, who's that guy? Who's that on the TV? And Two's like, you wouldn't believe me.
Hasn't the Brig met the first doctor?
No.
No.
What was the Briggs' first episode?
Web of Fear, which was a 2 serial.
Which is a second doctor serial.
But was it Nicholas Courtney in a first doctor episode?
Yes, he was.
So the prophecy is complete.
He was in the Daleks Master Plan?
Who did he play?
The brother of Sarah Kingdom, who she killed, thinking he was bad, but he wasn't. She shot him to death. I forget his name. It was Brig Light.
More calories, but less refreshing. Brig Light.
And then we cut back to the antimatter cave, which explains that it's an antimatter cave.
Just get to the end. Get to the 4th episode.
Well, here's the thing. The doctor is, like, trying to explain what's going on, and he does so with a pencil that he turns into some flowers. So he's like, ta-da!
That'll come back later.
It does. It does come back. He gives Joe the flowers and she's like, thank you, and drops them on the ground.
I love that he has just probably been carrying that around since the beginning. That he's just had them in, like, up his sleeve ready to go. Just like, eventually, this is gonna impress the shit out of somebody.
His sleeves are bigger on the inside.
Back at unit, the force field gets turned off and all of the telebubblies disappear. And unit's like, huh, that's weird. And then the entire unit building disappears, which leaves behind a field of grass.
Shut up, they disappeared an entire building. I don't want to hear it.
Why is there grass underneath the
they
building?
They disappeared an entire building. Shut up.
Why is there grass?
Then there's the best worst graphic back in the Time Lords Taco Bell, where they've got their big screen with like the picture of the smudge that represents the destruction of the whole universe. And you see the unit house like drifting into the smudge. And it's like, oh, your graphics are really good. They're just showing a picture of something crappy.
What I love about that is that that was an image that didn't need to exist. People got it. People understood what happened. They didn't need that image. It, as an effect, it does not deliver. It looks like Omega won his unit stealing badge. That's what it looks like.
And that is the end of episode 2. We're now into episode 3, which I've called the Alpha of Omega?
Omega.
Well, you should pronounce Alpha weird as well.
The Alpha of Omega.
The Alpha Omega.
The Alpha of Omega.
Alpha of Omega.
Alfonso de Omegalia.
Alfie of Omega.
Anyway.
They meet Omega.
This podcast has a lot of filling in it, speaking of which, because the episodes have a lot of filling in it. And this podcast has a lot of filling in it, too.
It's like a Twinkie.
Or a pie.
Yeah, like a cherry pie.
Mm. Yeah, that's me.
Chris, how many times have we told you not to talk about your cherry pie on this podcast?
It's a part of my heritage.
Just this once, really.
Yeah, that's it. It's a short lich.
So wait, who did that song? She's my cherry pie.
Warrant.
My cherry pie. Nothing gonna run in a big damn fly. Tastes so good, Mick.
It's Warrant, right?
It's Van Halen.
A lot of, like, 80s butt rock that we're talking about this episode.
Butt rock?
Butt rock? Never heard butt rock before.
I am not the first person to have said it.
Yes, you are. You mean in life or in this podcast?
In life.
That's debatable. I think you learned it from someone who was fucking with you.
No, it's a thing.
Yeah, Vince knows what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, but you guys know about music, so that's basically cheating.
That's fair.
I'm the guy who knew it was Warrant, though, so... And I don't know anything about music. I don't know how I know that. I think I saw it on, like, a soundtrack somewhere.
Do you know anything about Doctor Who? Specifically about this episode?
I know very little about Doctor Who.
So they meet Omega, who is supposed to be dead.
But he's got a sweet mask, and now we can talk about it.
He's like, Time Lord, our greatest hero. He's like George Washington of the Time Lords, but not British. Because I bet the British don't like George Washington, like, at all.
And he basically looks like a very tall Doc Doom. Yeah. Like, if you stretched him a bit.
He looks like Egyptian, but also Iron Man.
And he's green.
Someone spent a lot of time on that mask, because it also has to unfold later. That actor is like... Okay, so everyone else is being the episode very dry, so that this guy could have nothing but emotional outburst for every line.
He's the most dramatic.
So dramatic!
Like, his character could have had pathos, but instead he was just kind of funny.
He's making up for the lack of expression in the mask by eating all of the scenery that he created with his mind.
Right, because Joe and Tyler get put into a cell. And Tyler's like, well, we can run out of here, there's no door. And then... a door appears from the will of Omega.
No, it's a real wall.
If I was imagining up a door, it would be better than that one.
Can we talk about, like, how smug he was? He's, like, just kind of like, some cell, there's not even a door. Like, clearly they thought of something. Like, they're not idiots.
How often has Professor Tyler been thrown into a jail cell? That's what I want to know. Where's his spinoff about his misspent youth?
No one wants it.
Someone will buy it. Like, 400 people will buy it.
It's a, like, 8-part miniseries from Big Finish.
Professor Tyler, the war years.
Can I say really quickly, I googled butt rock.
All sorts of weird stuff came up.
No, can I say, there's lots of, like, articles about butt rock that clarify that butt rock is, like, a term. There's an Urban Dictionary.
Is it a term that used to make sense, but is no longer relevant?
I mean, kind of, because no one makes butt rock anymore. But...
rock...
But the image search is just rocks that look like butts.
I will be Googling that later.
You can Google it now.
There's a lot of rocks that look like butts, you guys.
So, yeah, we get some, like, dramatic Omega being like, I should have been a god, and the Time Lord should have treated me better, and I'm awesome.
Nobody appreciates me?
I basically created this time travel shit, and I get no respect.
I tell you.
He feels that the Time Lords have trapped him here vindictively, and the Doctor's like, we all thought you were dead. And he's not like, oh, no wonder you haven't been trying to rescue me. He's like, no, you'll suffer for the crimes you didn't know you were committing.
They're like, how did you survive? And he said, I survived.
Like butts.
These rocks look like butts.
Butts, god damn it.
Here in my palace of will, I can create anything. Even a rock that looks like a butt. That looks like a butt.
He says he survived by mind over matter. And then I said, or mind over antimatter.
No, he says mind over antimatter. He says it.
I thought that, oh, I was in my notes and I just thought it was a dumb joke I made. It's a dumb joke from the actual episode?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. All right.
Mind over matter.
Can I say, Omega, I feel like, is really the first of the great shouty Doctor Who villains.
No.
I mean, not in the sense of being great as in a good villain.
He's not the first.
Wait, you don't think Omega's a good villain? Because I was delighted by him every time he was on screen.
I love him, but I don't know. I can't think of like a really good shouty. Like, there's a very specific classic Who archetype.
I would say the mad scientist from The Underwater Menace, Professor Zarkov.
Ooh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. There you go.
But he's not like a classic villain.
Yeah, but he's like, I want to destroy the world!
And everyone's like, why?
I want to see an Omega spinoff of him just sad and alone in his own dimension, willing stuff into shape and being mad that they don't look like how he wanted them to look.
I want to see that like a comic, like a sort of Charles Schultz-y comic.
Lil Omega.
Tony may have created a Tumblr blog for him that is called, what is it?
It's called Welcome to the Dark Side of My Mind.
With X's around it.
Yeah, it's X underscore X underscore X Omega X underscore etc.
Oh, that's beautiful. But like, I feel like this is a trope that Classic Who really runs with, of just like this mad genius that's always shouting and wants to destroy the universe.
Well, that's what most writers feel like all the time.
Because I feel like one of the things that like Classic Who did that New Who never really did. Classic Who is very much a monster show, but it's also like a villain show. There's lots of serials that are about some mad villain or some mad scientist or like whatever. And New Who never really picked that up. I can't think of any good New Who like villains that didn't originate in Classic Who. And that's kind of sad.
I can't think of any reoccurring villains.
At any time I can think of like a one-off villain, it's like specifically like a Classic Who pastiche, like Diana Rigg and the Crimson Horror.
The weird Victorian lady who could boss the Cybermen around. David Bradley and his silly robots on a dinosaur spaceship.
Whenever they're doing it, it's always like a really campy, played for laughs thing. There's no like really compelling villains in New Who. Again, that aren't like the Master or like Davros or something. It's all like, they're always like ported from Classic Who. And I kind of wish, I want to see that. I kind of hope that's something that Chris Chibnall does, maybe. Because I miss that. I miss that.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, Stephen Moffat said that is, you know, like stuff that, you know, new stuff enhances the legacy, or, you know, it has to have a really valid reason for bringing it back, and we want more new stuff. But then, yeah, new stuff, maybe not as compelling.
I think Davies tried to do a new villain with the lead Raxacoric of Falipatorian.
But like, even then, they always felt more like monsters.
Yeah, but that was like the main one that he was trying to like establish as like a villain, and it just didn't, because of the farting, it just didn't work.
In Boomtown.
Well, I mean, because I'm making like a distinction between monster and villain. There's lots of New Who monsters, but there's no like a specific antagonist with a specific goal and agenda.
Well, that's what I'm talking, the main one. What's her name?
The female one.
I mean, kind of, but like, yeah, I guess. And she was good. She's good in her second episode.
That's Boomtown.
Yeah, Boomtown. I like
the
Boomtown.
The Boominess Town.
It's underrated.
What about the lady who was Skin?
Oh, she's pretty good, actually. Cassandra.
Yeah, I forgot about Cassandra.
So, Omega wants the Doctor's help to destroy the Time Lords. Then the TARDIS, unit arrives in this quarry, but they arrive via jumping?
Yeah, they all jump at the same time.
And then,
so that you know that they've moved.
What it is, they filmed them jumping, they cut off the bit where they jump up, and then just cut to where they'd land.
Yes.
So they all land at the same time.
So I guess where they materialized was slightly lower than where they dematerialized from.
And then they exit the TARDIS, and the ooze is gone. But so are they. And the brig, like, opens the door and just sees, like, a vast quarry desert.
And Two is really excited because he thinks they're at the beach.
Yay!
Yeah!
He's Two like, loves swimming.
Let's get our swim on. That's Two's, like, thing.
Once the brig gets on board for We've Moved, which takes him a while, he still refuses to believe that they're not on Earth. He's like, we're in Greece somewhere. Or Norfolk. I better make some calls.
And he's very angry because, like Anakin Skywalker, he apparently hates sand. He sees sand and he gets angry.
That's just British people disappointed in their own beaches.
And then I think at this point, do some bedazzled scrotum show up?
You could call them scrodads.
Well, yeah, they come for him and then Two says, oh my giddy aunt.
He says the thing.
There's a lot, because it's an anniversary special, there's a lot of says the thing.
Right, and Three actually got... When I say run, run.
They are very aware of all the things. Like, that's like, they're all very aware of the history in this serial.
It would have been great if they cut to one. He's like, well, I gotta go talk to Chatterton. But they didn't do that.
Aw, I missed them. I missed the very first TARDIS team.
It's a good TARDIS team.
Yeah, Two and Benton get captured. Brig gets separated from Two and Benton, teams up with the Yokel.
Briggs is like, you have a gun, you'll be taking orders from me, because I'm in charge. The Yokel's like, okay.
Ooh, a hat. Checks out. Adds up.
Two and Benton get taken to Omega.
Omega figures out that Two is a Time Lord, and then he puts it all together. Pretty easily.
I think it takes him a second to realize they're the same one.
Yeah. He's like, wait, Time Lord. Two Time Lords. Two Time... The same one Time Lord. That's... Oh my god.
Maybe, like, regeneration was, like, a theory in his time, but he didn't know that anyone had achieved it yet.
Do that again, but a little more Goldblum.
It's life. Yeah, it, finds a way.
Well, that was a totally different line.
That's my wife's ringtone for me. It's Jeff Goldblum making that noise. I've heard it so many times.
Why have you heard it so many times? Like, why are you calling her in the same room?
Mostly I call her when she can't find her phone.
I'm familiar with that technique.
She has to call me when I can't find my phone, but it's usually because she's moved it somewhere without telling me.
So, Two and Three get taken away. They get imprisoned. Two and Three fight, make up, because this is what they do. And then they explain everything, because we need to be explained to.
I think it's already happened, but there's a part where Patrick Troughton, Second Doctor, has to fill in the brig on stuff that we, the audience, have seen. And they, like, cut away and cut back, and he's like, and that's what happened. I remember enjoying that for some reason.
So, basically, Omega provided the energy that was enough to make time travel possible.
That science checks out, by the way.
1.21... Omega watts.
Time travel was powered by a supernova that he caused or something along those lines.
And in the process, it trapped him in this place.
The Time Lords had thought he had died. Which, by the way, earlier in this episode, there's a bit where they're talking, where Three is talking to Omega about this, where he says, like, it was like, we didn't forget you. It was like, we celebrate you as a hero. And Omega says something to this that I don't know what he's saying, because it really sounds like he's saying, fuck hero. I want to be a god.
That is what he says.
I cannot hear anything else. It sounds like he says, fuck hero.
I think he says hero. Like, I don't think.
It's like, fuck hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's like, fuck hero. But it really sounds like, fuck hero. I want to be a god.
Which is, it fits.
So he wasn't setting up this black hole for altruistic reasons. He was kind of an asshole already.
I mean, I think he might have gotten to be an asshole just by being, like, trapped somewhere by himself for a long time. I feel like that probably makes you a dick if you're not a dick.
That doesn't help.
If everything here is according to his will, why does it look so like a goddamn ugly quarry? Apparently, Terrence Dix, when he did the novelization, he changed it to be like, his powers were weakening, so it looked like, it used to be like this grand magical place, now it's just rocks and shit.
It's just rocks and some bubble wrap.
Because his powers have faded. So he's like, they explain to Joe and everybody that everything works according to Omega's will, the will of Omega. And then Joe's like, if it works through your will and he's a Time Lord and you guys are Time Lords, why don't you guys will up a door?
Wait, this is my favorite scene, because they do. They will up a door, and Two goes through it, and he goes, opens and everything!
They briefly become their own Green Lantern Corps.
So, they go back to Omega's office place, and they're like, who goes in first? And Two flips a coin again, and Three just grabs it. It's like, no! We go in together.
No, he's like, I don't even know what the point would be, and goes in front of him. Obviously, you're going to lie. You know what we didn't talk about that happened way back? One calls them a dandy and a clown.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But which one's which?
Three's the dandy. Two's the clown.
The clown.
Three's a magician.
A dandy magician.
And two has very little clown makeup.
Well, three only really did one magician thing. Magicianing really becomes more of a gimmick of, No, it's not nine. It's seven, right?
A lot of seven is sort of... There's a lot of two and seven.
You mean three?
Five.
Nine.
I know some numbers.
8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9.
I could tell you guys about some numbers.
The pi, Doctor. Tony, which number is the best number?
Out of all of them?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
The number, yes. Number Wang!
They go into Omega's thing and they're going to combine wills to fight Omega.
I love the phrase Omega's office. Joe said that a minute ago, and that's great.
Well, it's Omega's office.
All bad guys need an office.
So they're going to lock into a mind fight with Omega. And so they do. Meanwhile, the rest of the group get lost inside the caves. But they found those very helpful flowers that Joe disregarded earlier. And she's like, this is right next to the entrance. And they get out.
Omega says, you're going to have to fight the dark part of my mind. Like, no, I want to fight your good side.
That is where his blog title comes from.
Can we talk about the dark side of his mind?
Yes.
Yeah, please. Let's do it.
It's a guy in a mask. But like a different mask.
Like he's wearing those like masks from that one episode of Twilight Zone.
With the noses?
Yeah, with they're all like with pig noses. I mentioned Twin Peaks earlier. This whole thing feels very Twin David Lynchy to me.
Because, yeah, they're just in a black room.
Like, a lot, it's shot in slow motion a lot of the time, and they're just, like...
tumbling towards freedom.
Judo flipping each other in darkness, and he's just fighting this weird creature.
The sound is also odd.
It's very effective.
It's like a Eraserhead. It's like fucking...
We also take a brief detour in the middle of this fight to have the Time Lords go, call up the First Doctor, and, like... we gotta send him in, like he's gonna be in the next episode, but he's not.
But he's not.
Like, it's a very pointless diversion.
You know what's something we skipped, like, for like two episodes ago? At one point, Two offers someone a jelly baby.
Yes, he does.
I missed it. You said that, and I was like, I don't remember that happening.
It's kind of weird, because it's happening in this anniversary episode, it feels like a callback.
Well, it is. It's not the first time.
No, he's done it before.
And he can do it again.
I don't remember where.
Even if he's done it before, it's so associated with four that it almost feels more like a call forward than a call back.
Time travel!
Shenanigans.
Yeah, it's a callback to a minor thing that will later become a major thing.
That is the Doctor Who-iest thing I've ever heard of.
Back to this long mind fight. I like it, but it is very long.
And plus Two doesn't get to fight him at all.
It goes on and on. And on.
You sound a little bit like David Lynch there.
It goes on and on and on. It's a very long mind fight.
Well, the reason why it goes on is because it's shot in slow motion.
And that takes twice the amount of time.
They should have had Two fight him and then done that in two twice as fast motion to balance it out.
The cliffhanger of episode 3 is Three being spooned by a pig man.
Three being spooned by a pig man in an endless void.
The pig man mounts him, and then Three is the little spoon.
That is the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, which I have called the Omega of Omega.
Just called the pig man spoon.
That's not what you called it.
I titled it the Will of Omega, but it's not as good as the Omega of Omega. Because the first one was the Alpha of Omega, now it's the Omega of Omega.
Oh, I see. You're doing a thing.
You and your things.
Call it the Empty Man. That's my title.
Basically, Two just goes, hey, stop it. And they stop fighting. That's it.
That's the resolution.
And Three is all sweaty. He's like, yes, very good.
The unit group, Joe and all of them, drive off and Bessie to go back to the unit building. And then Two just starts yammering away at Omega. And Omega is literally like, how dumb is this motherfucker?
I believe it's, is this the point where he's trying to get his recorder back?
The point where he's trying to get his recorder back is 3 episodes.
Yes, it happens a lot.
It leads up to my favorite joke in this episode, in this serial. Two is being extra Two. And he's talking to Omega. He's like, wait, so you made all of this? Okay, awesome, cool. Can you make me a recorder? It's like this big.
He's placing his order.
Yeah. And he's like, come on, it's not that hard. It's just a recorder. And then Three starts getting pissed off. And he's like, and Three's like, come on, I'm trying to do something here. And then Two gets mad and goes, just because you're not musical. That's my favorite line in the episode.
Which is not true, because three hums opera all the damn time. Sings opera. But you find out that two's actually being annoying on purpose. He's like, I'm testing him. Temper is his weakness, and I'm seeing how far we can go with this guy. And then we see how Omega has been doing all the shit he was doing on Earth, which he has this, like, light stream to reality, which is just like this steam cloud, right?
That's an amazing band name.
Light stream to reality?
Or at least an album name.
My next note just says, so drama, because I think that's all he does.
It's just a lot of...
He should have been played by Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed is on Doctor Who later.
But he's like, basically, he's like, one of you guys are going to replace me so that I can go back to reality. One of you guys has got to stay here.
Well, like, two stay, but three leave. Perfect.
Oh, there's that one point where, like, Omega is explaining his problem. His problem is that, like, he is keeping all of this going using his will. But, like, he can't leave because then it'll collapse. He needs all of this to be here so he can leave. But once he leaves, it collapses. So he can't, like, it's sort of a catch-22. And at one point, he's like, yes, I am like Atlas. And I'm like, how does he know about Atlas?
He has that one light stream to reality. He just, like, puts his, just kind of looks through.
It's his telescope that he shoots electricity out of.
Well, I mean, he calls himself Omega, which is, of course, from the Greek alphabet. So he's got some sort of knowledge of Greece, I guess.
And he was sending stuff into the reality, so he probably knows where things are-ish.
Especially in Greece. I mean, that's where it goes to. It goes to Greece. He just knows about Greece.
And Atlas is at the South Pole. Atlas is just a dude standing on his head at the South Pole, grunting into the snow.
They're like, fine, we'll take your place and we can swap. And but they're like, remove my protective mask. And they do. And
it opens, by the way, like a pop top.
Like a Pez dispenser?
Yeah.
Like a Darth Vader helmet. Take off my mask, son, so I can look upon you with my own eyes.
So they pop it up and they go, ooh, no, and then close it immediately.
And they open his face and there's nothing there.
That's a great shot, too, because they're like, he's like, what? What's wrong with my face? You saying I'm ugly? And they're like, you may want to go look at it. And he pulls it up and you see, like, the reflection. There's nothing there and you can see the two doctors, two and three, like, behind him, staring through where his head should be.
Yeah, it's really good. And again, it felt like Twin Peaks. I don't know if it's just because I just watched Twin Peaks, but, like, empty faces and stuff.
It's very bizarre. He puts it back on, and then he cries.
He does. He throws a temper tantrum.
It is a mournful wail.
He's so sad and lonely and bored. Probably horny.
He's so Kylo Ren.
And he decides that he's going to destroy everything since he can't have anything.
Just because he's mad.
If I can't have a face, then you can't have a universe.
He starts throwing a tantrum, and the doctors just run away.
And that's the end. No.
No. Unit has returned to Unit. The doctors follow immediately thereafter, and they all get into the TARDIS. So we cut back to the Time Lords, and they're like, power is so low, we're putting so much energy into whatever we're doing.
We got candles on.
We actually can't send one to them physically. We're just going to have to do that video thing again. Like, why did you even, like, hint at this?
Skype them on the old television.
Then we get Two missing his recorder some more, and the Brig is very happy about it. He's like, it's good that it's gone.
Yeah, he says, I can't play a song for you. And the Brig is like, thank heavens, small mercies.
And then Benton says, nobble him? What was that in reference to? What does that even mean? They're talking about what they should do with Omega.
If you go to a horse that's going to be in a horse race and you fuck his knees up so that the next race he's like running all weird, that is to nobble a horse.
I thought that was hobble.
Not hobble is like make him better. Nobble is to like make him worse.
What's hobnob?
I think that was not true.
Realize!
That actually was the truth. There's a thing I knew about.
Because I've seen Misery, and I'm pretty sure it was Hobble.
I read about it in a Hardy Boys book, but I forgot it in another Hardy Boys book.
I want to read that Hardy Boys book where you forget it.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
I want to read a book that makes you forget things. That's amazing.
That sounds like a Doctor Who episode. A book that takes knowledge out of you.
You're definitely full of shit.
What?
Tony Googled it. She said, you're definitely full of shit.
No. I thought I was telling the truth.
But she found some rocks that look exactly like butts.
Maybe that just definition was in a dream I had.
Hobble is the thing you're thinking of.
Yeah, but nobble is hobble with an N.
Nobble is to try to influence or thwart someone or something by underhanded or unfair methods.
Yeah, number one, to disable a racehorse by drugging, especially.
I mean, we're looking at two different things.
Mine says that I'm correct.
How do you spell yours?
Okay, tamper with a racehorse. It's there. It's there, but hobble also means the same thing.
Well, yeah, it's Cockney rhyming slang.
Hobble to noble with a bed.
Hobble you noble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
You're only half full of shit, my apologies.
So one calls in and says, all we gotta do is we all three gotta put our heads together and come up with a plan. So they all three do the thing where they flicker back and forth.
Everybody do it at the same time.
No.
Join us.
I think Vince is asleep.
Almost.
I think he is.
I'm asleep.
Vince, this is your cue to play some hubble 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 music.
Like that?
Perfect.
That's perfect.
They're like, all right, cool, we got a plan. Buy one, and one leaves.
I hope that William Hartnell got to keep his triangle.
I do too.
That triangle's actually from his garden.
They filmed that in his garage, right? So they had to set up a triangle in there.
No, that's a myth. It was a studio set.
They moved the triangle to his garage afterwards.
His garage is on a studio set.
He parks at the studio and then walks all the way home, which is like 30 miles.
And he does it just to fuck with them.
Remember when I was the doctor?
Until he gets hobbled.
Gas that shit up. So then there's something going wrong. They find something inside the TARDIS console.
It's the recorder. Hooray!
Yep.
And but two can't have it back because of reasons. It's too important now.
Because it's part of a plan.
But three will buy him 100 recorders. And he goes, no, I only want them if they're stolen. Don't buy them.
So they call Omega and they say, we can free you. We have a plan. We're going to let you go. They transport the TARDIS into the cave.
And he like shouts like, are you going to try and trick me? And they're like, no. And he's like, okay, good. Let's do it.
And then he's like, okay, I will let everyone go. Because they're like, you got to let everyone go. And he's like, no, I'll let everyone go except for you, for the doctors. You guys got to stay here. And then everybody walks through the steam, the light stream, and they disappear.
One by one and with ample space between them.
And they all arrive back at the same time.
No one is in that much of a hurry to go. Everyone's just kind of like... saying, like, kind of long Wizard of Oz goodbyes.
Well, the doctor hasn't properly explained the plan because of reasons.
And then the mustache guy is back, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's alive.
And he's like, I'm going through the steam, too. And they're like, oh, yeah, forgot about you. You can go, too, I guess. Scoot on through.
I'm going to do some math in it.
So then they hand him the recorder and try to do a mind meld thingy.
The recorder is stuck in the... Was it the force field generator?
Yeah.
The recorder is stuck in the force field, so it never... Everything that went through the black hole got, like, processed. Because matter and antimatter can't touch, or else they'll annihilate each other and everything. So the recorder is basically... has like, unprocessed matter, and it touches antimatter... And then everything...
Explodes.
Blows up real good.
So they hand Omega an exploding box. That's the cartooniest conclusion.
It also causes another source of energy for the Time Lords. And then everyone returns through the jumping method. And everything returns. All at once.
All back in the same spot.
And then they're like, oh man, it's really sad that the Doctor's dead. And then the TARDIS appears. And then they explain that the recorder caused a supernova. And then one calls in briefly and is like, it's cool hanging out with you guys. Peace out. And two's like, all right, peace out. And also pieces out. Unit's like going to go make sure everything's where it needs to be.
Briggs says they need to do an inventory. And Patton's like, all right. And then comes back and he's like, if it's not.
Where do we say it is?
Where do we say it went? And the Briggs is like, I don't know why my life is always like this.
And Briggs was like, I was just making an excuse to leave. Stop ruining my excuse to leave.
And then Tyler's like, well, it was very nice hanging out with you. Goodbye. And they're like,
I'm going to go be useless somewhere else.
Yeah. Who are you again?
I will call Unit again next time I lose a sandwich or step on a duck or whatever bad happens to me. I'll call you.
To be fair, if he loses a sandwich, Unit's a good people to call because Three is stealing sandwiches all the time. Three is a sandwich thief.
Yeah, there's a good chance three has his sandwich.
There's this moment where they're like, but what about the yokel? Oh, he's probably just materialized back where he was. And then we see that he was, but nobody like checks back on him to make sure that that's the case. It's just like, oh, he's probably alive.
Which the last scene with three, I feel like, is kind of anticlimactic. It's not like a big punch, because then it cuts to the yokel who has a nice little joke.
It is a big punch for me.
Yeah, he does have a thing that's cool.
Because first off, he's a little sad about Omega dying. He's like, but I gave him his freedom by him dying. Then the Time Lords give him a present for a job well done.
This is a huge deal.
A Taco Bell present.
They give him his dematerialization circuit and his memories back of how to do the TARDIS.
We can go to space again!
Legitly.
Well, no. Because they talk about that. It's like, oh, so it's fine now? No, there's more stuff that needs to be done.
Oh, yeah, he's got to, like, install it
he's
and shit.
He's got to fix it.
Well, no, I think that he needs to fix the force field generator as well, because he doesn't have one.
But it's back, and it shouldn't take him that long to fix it.
Well, I don't know. The force field generator was literally turned into a supernova.
Yeah, but do you need a force field generator in order to to TARDIS?
Only to do it safely.
That's what he said that he needs, so... We'll see.
Since when has the Doctor ever tried to do anything safely?
The way he says it, it's just like, oh, I mean, yeah, I gotta build a force field generator, but this is like...
This is one step closer, is basically what he said.
No, it didn't feel like, oh, we're one step closer to travel. It felt like, oh, I mean, yeah, I gotta put some gas in it. Like, it didn't seem...
Right. It's like it didn't have any wheels, and now it has wheels, but they have to put gas in the tank.
So it's... I'm excited.
It didn't even have an engine.
We'll see where it goes in the future.
He couldn't travel through time this whole time?
No.
Not unless the Time Lords wanted him to.
Yeah, the Time Lords would force him to do it. So, yeah, then we cut to the yokel coming back, and his wife's like, where the hell were you? And he's like, that's too complicated. Is supper ready? And that is the end.
That's the end. That's how they choose to end the multi-doctor serial.
Is on this minor character.
That would have been a good after-credit sequence.
Not the end of the actual episode.
It's not their fault that no one had invented the after-credit sequence yet.
They could have had a call forward.
That is the end of the Three Doctors.
The Three Doctors.
I almost said The Doctors, which is a soap opera. That's the end of The Three Doctors. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back for final thoughts.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, it's Rick and Sherry from the Life in a Kilt podcast.
If you are a kilt wearer, a kilt lover, or simply like to gawk, come hang out with us every week on Life in a Kilt podcast.
We discuss kilt life, regular life, and everything in between and underneath.
We've got humor, interviews, sketch comedy, pop culture, beer reviews, even indie music. And we discuss it each week in a way that only we can.
Well, only the way I can.
Oh, hush. I discuss it so much better than
whatever.
You.
Anyway, discover the joys of kilt life without ever leaving the comfort of your own headphones. Kilts aren't required. But if you've got one, feel free to buckle up.
That's the Life in a Kilt podcast with Rick and Sherry every week on the ESO Network.
And we're back! We're going to call Ben in real quick so he can do the theme.
Final thoughts!
Vince, you go first, since you're the sleepiest.
Final thoughts!
This is a fun serial, if you're awake. It had sort of three doctors in it. They were together for some of it, and some of those interactions were fun. And the Brigadier was a total fucking moron. Benton was there, unless it was Yates.
I don't think Yates was in this at all.
No, he wasn't.
It was Benton. Benton's the one with the face. Okay.
I also can't tell them apart.
Benton was the one who turned into a baby.
Benton is a baby!
I thought Yates turned into a baby.
No, Benton turned into a baby in the Time Monster.
Okay, if you say so.
Yates exploded and then was fine.
Okay. Anyway, the sets were terrible. Like, really, really terrible sets. Kind of didn't quite live up to what they intended, I think. Really, like, it looks like a bunch of cheap sets. And it's like, oh, this is the big special episode where the amazing stuff happens. And, ooh, it's Aladdin's cave and we've got all the doctors. And it's these are the sets. It's like a cheap TV Muppet production type of sets. It's like one of those TV musicals where they do a TV live musical version of a musical that has already been done with a higher budget, but they do it on a lower budget. It's like that. It's like variety show sets, like sub SNL sets. So it's not like super immersive, but it's still fun to see the two doctors together. Kind of wish Jamie had been there. That would have been neat.
They'll get him next time.
And what's her name? Zoe?
Zoe, yeah.
And then Vince died.
Is this the afterlife?
Are you in a quarry?
Yeah. What's all this gravel about? Oh yeah. Let me get my beach ball. So yeah, it's a cereal with stuff happening. I like it.
Cool. Ray, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are the same as Vince's, only more dynamic. It's clear that the producers said, it's our 10th anniversary, let's have some fun. And at that point, the idea of getting the doctors together hadn't ever been tried before. So I'm sure they'd have a meeting like, will this make sense to anybody? Will anyone know that there were other doctors? All these kids watching the show? Like, how are we going to explain this? And then like, well, let's just not explain it and it'll be fine. And then they said, oh, okay, good. Definitely there was room for improvement basically everywhere, but they did do what I feel like they were trying to do. Like, I feel like production design, they probably could have not spent more money, but still made another universe look more another universe-y, make the Time Lords Taco Bell look more exciting. Like, I feel like I still have a problem, like, they're like, oh, sir, the world's about to end. Okay, well, let's do something weird.
To be fair, it looks like a Taco Bell from the 90s, which is really good for the 70s.
Also, that is exactly how I expect Time Lords to react to danger. Just very like, we should do something about that.
And the Time Lord costumes were great.
They could have been very staunch, wall-like sparks were coming out of their computer, and lots of exclamation points were flashing on screen. Like, that I would have believed, but like, their situation didn't seem tense. They just spent the whole episode telling you that it was tense. And I feel like that carried over to, like, the whole episode, even when there were crab shooting explosions out of their claws and bubble wrap everywhere. It was Omega shouting that told you that it was tense, rather than anything tense actually happening in his bubble wrap cave of wonder. Everybody kind of got a little moment. You know, the Third Doctor was very Third Doctor-y. The Second Doctor was very Second Doctor-y. The First Doctor, bless his heart, was there. The other characters exhibited their personality traits. The Hunter guy was great. With this just, I've got a gun and I'm here. I mean, but I feel like everything could have been played with more. Like, I feel like if this had been a New Who episode, they would have mined the same ideas for a lot more interesting stuff. But I can't think of any specifics. Like, nothing was, like, awful bad, just like everything could have been better. Those are my final thoughts. Yeah, there isn't like anything that's like, this needs to go, or this doesn't fit, or this needs to be changed. But just like, I could stand to see that episode 30% better in every way.
You know what Omega's helmet reminded me of? Jack Kirby.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that's very kind of like New Gods vibe.
Well, he wanted to be a god, not a hero. God is two notches up from hero.
Fuck hero.
Fuck hero.
Fuck hero.
Chris, what are your final thoughts?
I'm not a huge fan of the kind of, like...
of the television show Doctor Who.
Yeah, no, it's not my bag. Of the kind of multi-doctor anniversary specials in general. Like, I'm not a huge fan of this one or Five Doctors. Like, Three Doctors is fun. There's a lot of, like, kind of fun moments in it. But again, like, everyone is played really broad. Like, the Brig is extra dumb. Like, Two is really broadly comic. I like it sometimes, but sometimes it's a bit overboard. Nothing, like, there's no really interesting ideas in the story. Like, it's very functional to engineer a scenario in which you can have these two actors interacting with each other, and that's like the entire point of it, which is fine if that's the thing that you want, and it's going to lead to some fun moments, but it's not ever going to be the most compelling television. It's not like my favorite thing ever, but like, it is a lot of fun. Like, and it is just nice to, any time that both doctors are on screen at the same time, it sort of justifies its own existence. For that, it's sort of worth it. Like, I'm glad they do it. Like, I wish it was like in service of something more interesting, but I think it is exactly what it wants to be, and I can't fault it for that. And yeah, and it is very funny in places, but I could do without the sets that look like someone sent a picture to a production designer that they meant to send to an STD doctor.
Oh no! Oh no, what a terrible situation that would have been. That would have been so awkward.
Especially when the STD doctor got the set notes and was like, I don't know how to prescribe this.
3 feet, who do you think you are?
How much plywood? This feels like less an episode of Doctor Who and like a Doctor Who play written to perform at a convention for diehard Doctor Who fans with lots of, look, here's a bit that's extra Doctor Who. Ha ha!
It suffered a bit from Turtles Forever syndrome.
There weren't any turtles in it.
Oh man, I love Turtles Forever.
I like Turtles Forever, but it is, for those listeners who might not know, Turtles Forever was a TV movie made by four kids in association with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show that they had just ended. And it was a crossover of sorts with the Fred Wolf 87 version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but it had this thing where some of the characters kind of were reduced to parodies of themselves more than being like accurate representations of the characters. And I think this episode suffered a bit from that, of reducing certain characters to parodies of themselves rather than true representations of how the characters would otherwise behave in these situations.
It's a situation that's been reverse engineered to create specific interactions.
It feels forced.
Exactly. So it's more like characters interacting because we want them to interact, but they don't really have anything compelling to interact about.
Yeah, and these writers didn't necessarily know, because these writers weren't around for the second Doctor, right? So they were like, they were probably not like writing from the experience of having written for the second Doctor much. I don't know. They're like, because there were two writers on this serial, right?
They've written a lot of stuff, though. I have to look that up later.
And each one wrote every other line.
Because the writers of Turtles Forever definitely hadn't written for the Fred Wolf Ninja Turtles.
All right, Tony, do you want to do your final thoughts?
I feel like I'm kind of alone in that I kind of really liked the sets. I mean, they're definitely gross. And if they were going for something that was, like, opulent and impressive...
They failed.
They failed by a lot, because they're gross. But they were weird, and I appreciated that. It wasn't anything I expected to see, and so I appreciated that aspect of them. I don't have much to say on account of we have a lot of guests, and y'all already took all the good words.
I didn't.
Fancy words!
There's not much to it, but it's a fun multi-doctor serial. It wasn't the best serial, but it's nice to see them interact. I think when they make the switch from, like, fighting a whole bunch, which was really fun to watch, to, like, almost getting along too well, where you're just like, will you stop flattering yourself? It's annoying. That's really cute. It's a good serial for Joe. And, like, her and Three have a really good dynamic in it. I really like Omega. I really like how dramatic and angsty he is. He's probably one of my favorite villains so far. And also, it was kind of neat how much sort of Gallifrey mythology the serial established.
Without even saying Gallifrey.
Without even saying Gallifrey.
Without even saying Gallifrey.
Without even saying Gallifrey.
Not even if you wanted to.
Not even if we wanted to. I really enjoyed the serial. I can see what you guys are saying about it not being necessarily the best thing ever, but
it was fun, and it was definitely more fun than the Five Doctors. I will say that.
I don't know. Maybe. Here's my biggest beef with the serial is that the whole conceit is, hey, look, it's two and three, and occasionally one, hanging out together, but they don't hang out a whole lot. They kind of immediately get separated, and I wish they'd been together more often than they were.
Obi-Wan and Anakin.
When they're together, sparks fly. It's really good. It's really funny. They make a good team. They bicker a lot, and I always love when people like bicker with past versions or future versions of themselves.
That was the thing that I wanted to bring up.
What's that?
I want to know what would happen with everybody, each guest, if just like 2006 you was suddenly in your living room. Like, I want to know what your dynamic would be.
In my mind, I would want it to be sloppy makeouts, but the only thing I want to put in his mouth is my fist.
That's a reference to a thing.
I probably introduce my past self to a bunch of books he wasn't familiar with.
Just jumpstart that?
And then we'd read those books. Or I'd pitch him ideas for comics he should draw and get started on them early.
I like how all of your things are like, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to get things done faster.
Mine would be like, you're still working on that?
Would you warn your past self not to start a projectionist project?
No, I enjoy it too much.
Oh, no, yeah, God. It would be so sad if the projectionist project didn't exist.
I mean, it's a hassle, but it's fun. Which, the Three Doctors, probably not the best idea, but it was fun.
Wait, I did not hear all answers. Chris?
I'd say 2006, that's me. I'm like a junior in like high school. I think it would just be really sad.
And Vince.
In 2006, I guess I was, my math is terrible, but 19 I must have been. So I'd be like, yeah, nothing's going to work out.
Oh, no.
None of it. Like, everything's going to fail. And yeah, it's just a waste of time, everything.
Oh, no!
Tony, this is your fault.
If you like this episode, why? Check out more on whatyouraslan.com.
Hey, we're trying.
Shh. You can check out more on watchyouraslan.com and be sure to write and comment on our iTunes. Please do that. If you'd like to help us out even more, go to watchyouraslan.com/support and there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like live streams now, live streams of us watching the episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, which this is like 9,000 years long, and other cool stuff. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wishlist where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden of mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
That's mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. And tune in next time when we talk about Carnival of Monsters. Whee!
Sounds amazing.
Carnival Monsters.
Keep calm and wrestle on. Bye.
Now let's 10 more minutes.
Let's all sing the Doctor Who song.
I love you. Don't ever change unless you're an asshole, and then you should probably look into that. Okay.
Bye. Everybody say bye.
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 I refuse. I will filibuster.
Yeah, I don't want to say bye either.
You already said it.
I rescind it. I'm out of here. I'm gonna find a podcast that appreciates me.
So you are saying bye.
No, I'm departing and I'm announcing that, but I will not say the letters B-Y-E.
You will not be in sync.
You want to do the Watchathon of Rashomon?
No.
Someday somebody's gonna have to agree to that.
No.
No.
Not today.
Bye.
Not today.
I am stopping.
I am he and he is me.
We are all together, Gugukichu.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.